May 16, 2020, it's a Watch for Pedro show. Peter Show, happy Saturday in the middle of the month. Still quitting quarantino mode, so Brother Matt at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point, about 3 miles south of me. We started with Nature Boy, some live John Coltrane. And then, because I'm not all the way man alone, through the wonders of those Estonian Skype software engineers, I got John Coglett in here. Welcome aboard. And we heard your tune, Your Temporary Custodian.
Right.
Where are you talking to us from, John?
I'm in Echo Park, man, just down the road from you.
About 30 miles north, 28 miles north.
Yeah. That's right.
And, yeah, what was the club that used to be there?
Echo Park? In Echo Park?
It was called the O.N. Club.
Uh-huh.
It was a long time. It was like a ska club. But, of course, everybody knows about the Echo and the Echoplex. And I think the Echo used to be the Nayard or something, like a Latin America club. I played a benefit for Doctors Without Borders.
Uh-huh.
And, but before that, there was this, the O.N. Club. Sunset Boulevard comes curving around there. Look, mm-hmm. John, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Oh, wow, man. Probably, my dad was a big, was really into music. Probably just being like, before I could talk, I remember him listening to ZZ Top all the time.
So was your pop a player or just a listener?
Yeah, no, he was a player. He was in, he was pretty involved in the Texas 60s psychedelic scene. He was, like bros of the 13th Floor Elevators, and he was in a pretty great band. Yeah, he's in a pretty great band called The Torsions himself, and he also played with the Mystics. He was into pretty righteous stuff.
Guitar man?
No, he's a drummer.
Okay, well, until I get this mind-reading thing going, I gotta still use words, John.
So let me
ask you, John. In the pad you grew up, did you grow up in Houston?
No, I grew up in Dallas, actually.
Okay. I think the rhythm section, Dusty and Frank, came from Dallas.
Yeah, that's right.
But Billy's a Houston cat, yeah. So,
that's right.
And I think he's got a pad here in SoCal. I hear he spends a lot of time here.
I know he likes the desert.
A lot. Was there a drum set in the pad you grew up in Dallas?
Not until my parents got divorced. My dad gave up music, kind of went into the straight world without a whimper whenever he got his first wife pregnant with my sister. And then he got divorced, got married to my mom. They had me, and they split when I was 8. And he kind of had like a little bit of a midlife crisis and then got back into music. And that sort of – then so instruments started being all around the house. So that's whenever I kind of – music became more of a tactile thing
Did you jump on the kit and shit like that?
I wanted to play drums, but it was discouraged for some reason. I think that there was maybe some rivalry there. I don't know, father-son rivalry. But I started messing around with the guitar and bass and the keyboards were around. It just everything just started kind of playing around.
Progenitor issues. Well, what about school? What about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I was in band. I played trumpet in band, but I was a theater kid, man. I liked drama.
Well, I asked that because, you know, some schools got rid of their music programs and arts and shit like that. So they did have it. You just gravitated towards the theater. So, and trumpet, God, a lot of those guys are in the marching bands. I heard they're kind of hard because the little mouthpiece and walking, you know. I heard the bone and the baritone were because they got big ass mouthpieces. And they were kind
of well, I'm a little guy, so.
They're a little easier. Well, it was the balancing on the lip.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, people see those vowels, but they don't know that a lot of the notes, they got to come off the lip.
That's right.
Yeah. Like a bugle don't have any vowels.
That's right.
Right. People don't understand the skills required on that. It's not just, you know, coming up with the air. What was the first record that you bought for yourself, John?
It was Walt Disney's Spooky Sounds of the Haunted House.
Okay.
Yeah.
Party record. And what was the first gig you went to?
Oh, wow. Chuck Berry.
Oh, wow. Great.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Was he playing with a local band?
It was a pickup band, but I was so young. I mean, I don't know. I certainly didn't understand that.
Yeah.
But it was in Fort Worth, which is like, you know, the sister city of Dallas. And it was at a sort of grandstand kind of situation. I don't remember much else. I was pretty young, 7 or so.
You're probably aware a couple hundred miles north, I-35 gets E&W again. At the other mm-hmm. Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Ain't that
a trip? Yeah.
Ain't that a trip? That's what you learned by touring.
Yeah,
it's gotta be Masonic. Gotta be Masonic. What's the pad there in Dallas? Dealey Plaza, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you ever read the Illuminatus trilogy, but the Dealey Lama.
I remember taking
Joe Biser there. And
I lived right by Dealey Plaza, like until I moved here. Actually, my studio, which I still own, is still there, just maybe a mile away from Dealey Plaza.
I remember taking Joe Biser Black Gang tour in the late 90s, and everything looks so small because everybody's seen it so many times with film, and then when they see the real dealio, yeah, it's a trip.
Uh-huh.
So what about all that shit in the pad that you're growing up around? And you're not, like, told to get away from. What one did you gravitate to first?
What instrument?
Yeah, the music stuff.
Well, like I said, when I was young, I kept bugging my parents for a drum kit. But they would, I just, you know, I don't know. You'd have to ask them why they didn't buy me one. Probably just too much noise.
I understand. They steered you away. But did you gravitate towards other stuff? In the
meantime. Yeah, guitar, you know, like that's also another thing slightly is like around the same time as when my parents got divorced, I somehow connected with Jimi Hendrix. My dad was always playing Jimi Hendrix, but it was sort of like around the age of 10 or 11 that finally I just like it I actually heard it somehow, like I really connected with it and really got into the guitar through him.
Did you do lessons?
Not really, man. I didn't have any desire to be any good. I just wanted to write songs.
Oh, so you learned by, like, copying records, but you got into composing early.
Yeah, that's what I cared about, really. It was more of just, like, a vehicle for, like, to communicate something, you know what
I
mean?
Yeah, like the way you use a pencil.
Exactly.
You just wanted, it's a means to an end.
Yeah.
What about the thing, like, after school with the bedroom or the basement or garage band?
Yeah, man. I mean, I started a band pretty quickly, 13, 14 years old, even really before me or my friends could really play. It was just about making something. It wasn't about being any good.
Yeah.
And, I was pre-Nirvana, that sort of thing. So, like, you know, starting a garage band wasn't really particularly hip or anything, you know. So it was actually hard to find people that were interested in doing it.
Were the guys at school?
Yeah, yeah. It just, like, it was, you know, I mean, you
well,
can
sometimes
totally
sometimes it's neighbors, it. Sometimes it's brothers and sisters, you know, I'm just curious.
Right, and I did play with my sister. My sister was older than me. She turned me on to punk rock and everything. She was 6 years older than me, and that was the first person I played with. Was my sister. She played drums.
She was allowed to play drums.
Yeah. Well, she was already out of the house, kind of. You know what I mean? So she started playing drums. This is like right when the Riot Girl thing started happening, and she was really turned on by that. So she started a band immediately, and she was a drummer.
Toby Vail.
That's right. I know Toby really well. My band, The Paper Chase, was on Kill Rock Stars for like 10 years, so I know Toby.
But Toby's a drummer lady, too, you know.
I think
your favorite drummer is Kenny Jones.
Yeah?
And I like Kenny Jones in Faces, Small Faces, but maybe not with those. I don't know. Pete liked him. Pete's got him on his solo records. He's a good musician. You know.
Yeah.
That was a great band, Faces. But her band too, right? They started doing gigs again. So, did you and your sister made a band with her before the guys at school?
A little bit, yeah. It was like her and a couple pals I had from school. None of us really could play very well, you know. We just, there was a lot of ambition.
Yeah, but I never remember asking you that. Of course, when anybody starts, unless you're a motherfucking, you know, lucky, right? Like skateboard, right? You fall down a little bit at first, unless you're fucking blessed. Just start wailing on it. So, me and D-Boom, we didn't even know you were fucking supposed to tune with each other.
Yeah.
We thought if you played down on the corner And it sounded right, you know, that Creedence Clearwater Revival song.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we thought you were in tune. We didn't know that your dad on the corner had to be the other guy. You know, we thought some people like tight strings, some people like them loose.
Right.
Yeah, we were totally idiots. Did
you guys, like, learn completely together?
Yeah, yeah. There was a guy, Roy Mendez Lopez, who lived in his car, showed his stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The stuff where we're together in the bedroom and trying to figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
We were total stumblebums. Totally.
So cool, though.
So I can relate to anybody who does this, and this is why I always ask these questions. Because everybody's got a different journey, but it's a little bit similar. You got to start from something.
Yeah.
That's like I said, you're totally blessed to just start away like a Mozart prodigy boy or something. Look, I want to play here Doom or Destiny with some Blondie. I got to play with Clem Burt. I'll tell you about it. Shell, clear as a pane of glass. I realize I can't revise. As clear as a big blue sky. Through and through it all, you're trying to solve. It's clear as a crystal ball. As the past is unfolding, platinum and gold. Clear as a flawless diamond. I'm hitting the wall, and I'm gonna fall for you. Is it my
trash, it's just entertainment. It is an ode to Jupiter Entertainment Industries and Affiliates. Well, trash making trash for trash. Trash making trash for trash. Trash making trash for trash. A pink unicorn strapped to the grill of the white equipment truck. A pig jerking off blood on a piece of plywood. APD getting hacked into oblivion. There can't be two Steves on this shoot. No, not two. Just one. Okay. I want to be Busby. Why? Because Busby is cool, man. Yeah. Is gonna kill that woman for $400. So drag in the blood-stained mattress. Yeah, John Cusack is gonna kill that woman for $400. So better drag in the blood-stained mattress. Out your soul with a freeze-framed John Hancock. Cherish the selfie required of the contract. Toss out your soul with a freeze-framed John Hancock. Yeah, cherish that selfie that is required of the contract. Shine. Digest the makeup. Asphyxiation caused the breakup. Yeah, a broken heart and a clogged toilet. How many flannel shirts can one strangler try on before it's the right fit? That's what they wear in these shows. These, I don't know why they chose the flannel shirt, but it's fucking bullshit. Looks good on a resume. This place looks cool. I'm gonna bring my fiance. Yeah, stabbing looks good on a resume. This place looks really fucking cool, man. Think I'll bring my fiance. Cause it's trash making trash for trash. Trash making trash for trash. Trash making trash. Staggering, dying on Jupiter, depict death till it's jaundiced, draw curtains on the sun, pinpoint the agony, spotlight and spare the accomplice. Yeah, steam clean, the staggering dying on Jupiter. Depict death till it's jaundiced. Draw curtains on the sun, pinpoint the agony, spotlight, and spare the accomplice. Cause it's just entertainment. Yeah, it's just entertainment. They pull it out their ass. Yeah, it's just entertainment. Come on, it's only entertainment. Trash making trash for trash. If I eat enough this shit, enough of this shit, I'll end up dead. Oh, LMAO, the end of my tether. much murder, it all blends together. I caught a buzz off the witness ale. Turn down the fake weed. The dweeb director's smarmy smile gave me all the inspiration I will ever fucking need. And when you get all the inspiration you ever fucking need, it sounds something like this. Hey! Birthday party, Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy, Kukla, Fran, Segovia's fingernails. In the next episode, he gets his hands chopped off playing heads or tails. Yeah, the next episode, brought to you by Stupiter Entertainment, will show Segovia getting his hands chopped off while he plays heads or tails. And when you get your fucking hands chopped off playing heads or tails, it sounds something like this. Oh, yeah. Hey! Segovia loses with grace and Paganini aplomb. You know which digit fetched the highest price at auction? Yep, the old thumb. Yeah, he loses with grace and Paganini aplomb. You know what digit fetched the highest price at auction? That's right, kids, the old thumb. Anyway. God, fucking. Anyway. Leftovers, yeah, the extras can suck it. One can never have enough ersatz cocaine. Great value apple juice tastes just like bourbon. The googly eyes of Kubrick strewn about the ruins. Not even the birds would eat your nasty satanic tempeh. Alfred Hitchcock's barbecue chicken saved the frickin' day. Yeah! Cause it's just entertainment. Yeah, it's just entertainment. They pull it out of their goddamn evil fucking ass. Yeah, it's entertainment. Just fucking entertainment, folks. Trash, making trash for trash. Ooh, Nelly. Trash for trash. can trap more trash. Trash making trash for trash. Trash making trash for trash. Trash making trash for trash. Just entertainment. 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 It's just entertainment. Yeah.
I talk, but nobody's there. And if they are, they give me the parachute stare. I won't, I don't know where. Everywhere I go, I get the parachute stare.
Show, yeah, we heard Blondie doing Doom or Destiny. Old Man Fuck You out of Knoxville with Trash Making Trash for Trash. That's Steve Gigante. He used to be in Deerhoof, which is an incredible band. I think he was before John Dietrich, or maybe current. But John Dietrich's another great guitar man. Greg knows how to get the guys. Ed, too. And, yeah, much respect. I think Greg is living in Echo Park or Silver Lake.
Yeah, he's in this area. I saw him at a Korean New Year party of a friend of ours a few months ago, and he's living in L.A. somewhere.
He's incredible music man and drummer, and, you know.
Oh yeah,
composer.
Genuine weirdo too.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, like the old days of the movement where you had individuals.
Uh huh.
I remember Mark Riley at the BBC Radio 6 thing calling Taff Falco a one-off. I said, dude, the whole fucking movement was one-offs.
That's cool.
And that's not a bad thing, I don't think. Then we heard Conan O'Brien from Spain, A.L. Gullion, Marco Serrato, and Javier Camarona. Kay Salida, that's Kay from Black Flag. She's got her own little Kay Salida one-woman band. This one's called KC in Ecstasy. Yeah. She learned Pro Tools, all this stuff to do a movie and television, Foley, ADR stuff. She got some Emmys and Oscar even.
Wow.
The Golden Reel, too, which is from the Piers. She says it's like hardcore. It's a bunch of guys. So she's got to break her leg off in their ass. You know. But she's just intense that way. Captain Beefheart after that with a parrot choke stare. And finally, Wild Beast, Big Cat. Now tell me about Wild Beast.
They're a band. They broke up recently, but they're a band from Northern UK. I produced that record, and I just dig those guys a lot.
I think it's called Scotland, right?
No, they're not from Scotland. They're from the Manchester area.
Oh,
but so they're England. All London guys now.
England, okay, because you know the United Kingdom is Scotland and England. So when you say Northern UK, you say it's Scotland. Maybe not for long though. They might leave.
That's true. Probably be in their best interest.
Scots it or whatever.
So
they broke up. They're London guys. Yeah, that's the big music town. But you know, nowadays you can make music anywhere. That's one good thing about the technology.
It's for sure.
It's pretty amazing because those rents in London, goddamn.
Yeah.
Well, maybe like an Echo Park. It wasn't like that in the older days. So tell me about your first gig with these guys. Did you get to play a gig with your sister, or was that just a prac? Yeah, jamming.
Oh, you know, I never played a gig with my sister. That was always that in the bedroom.
But what about the other with the guys from school? Did you do a gig?
Yeah, for sure. I was my first band was called Curb Job, and we played. We played the basic club routes and everything. You know, I was still like 16 years old.
Yeah,
so.
But John, tell me about your first gig with the Curb Job.
First gig. It was an open mic night kind of situation. It was a Sunday night, and we peopled the entire club. It was like an all ages. They let all ages on Sundays. Club is called Galaxy Club, and they let us, we just got peopled the whole audience with people from our school. So the booker thought we were hot shit because people actually came and paid. So he immediately gave us, he immediately gave us a regular gig. So we thought we were, king of the world after that.
Well, tell me about that gig though. Was it scary?
Man, I was just so excited to get to play at a real club, you know?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I was scared. I was just excited.
Did you blow a lot of clams? You blow some clams?
What'd you say?
You blow some clams?
Definitely.
Mistakes.
Float some balloons. That's what I used to call them.
You float some balloons.
I don't know why we said that.
Well, the clams, I think, goes back to the jazz days.
Sure.
Because you had to pay for them.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Jim Brown would go to Catfish, you know, he'd point and hold up five fingers, you know.
Yeah.
Well, four fingers and a thumb. Okay. So,
is that where that comes from? You call it clams because of money?
I didn't call it that. I mean, it goes back.
Wow.
There's an infamous Buddy Rich tape, you know.
Oh, sure.
Right? And he's talking about blowing clams like motherfuckers.
Right.
So it goes way back. But I know clams was an old word for money, like bones and, you know, lettuce, shiola, whatever, all these shimoles. You watch some old movies, they got all kinds of words for it. So that's what I think it was. You had to, you know, the competition, right? I was reading somewhere in 1939, there was like 30,000 swing bands touring the country. Fuck.
That's crazy.
Competition was like, and you know, you didn't have big PA, so you had to carry a lot of horns with you, you know, so just the dancing wouldn't drown you out. So how long did Curb Job record?
I recorded us, you know, on my 4-track. I was already getting into recording at that point.
Yeah, tell me about that. How'd that happen?
Well, I was pretty just turned on by recording. I loved playing music, but I always I never like harbored like a, some sort of delusion that I would do it for a living or something like that, even though that's kind of what I do now. I just never, that was never like my goal.
Yeah.
I just loved playing music and particularly liked playing music that a lot of people didn't seem to like.
Yeah.
You know,
but then you wanted to get into capturing it.
Yeah, yeah, I just really, that really turned me on whenever I start, yeah, like this is, you know, this is back before Pro Tools and the digital revolution, you know, so like the idea of getting to hear your music played back to you was still pretty far out.
Also the, I'm assuming it was a cassette four track, the sound on sound idea.
Right.
Pretty amazing.
Right.
I remember when I first, yeah, I was like, wow, you could be Les Paul, Mary Ford, just pile it on.
That's right. Yeah.
What, yeah. So what was your first machine, John?
Oh, God. I had so many, but it was probably, it was a Tascam.
Okay.
I don't remember what model number that was. I later got the, was it 388, which is the big Mama Jamma.
I think it's an 8-track, right?
Yeah, yeah. The eight, yeah.
And in fact, I gave one to Petra Hayden, and I put the Who sellout on track 8, and I said, you fill up, please, the other 7 tracks, because she didn't grow up with rock and roll, right, because her daddy, Charlie Hayden. So she had never heard it. I said, you just sing along. You do all the parts, all the drums and guitars and basses. And she made a fucking a cappella version of this, and Pete Townsend heard it and loved it.
Wow.
And they made the album from that cassette tape.
Oh, man.
Really small heads on those things.
Extremely.
Yeah, but amazing, especially an 8-track. And and you had like channel strip, you know. It was pretty, yeah, I remember that machine. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, Wap Pedro Show, May 16, 2020. Hold tight for hour 2. May 16, 2020, it's the second hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
Words are in my head, but I can't enunciate them clearly. Headphones on your head, they prevent a chance to even try. Some might find me borderline attractive from afar, but as far as not where I can stay, and there you are. Though I want you,
like me. 100 unions in the snow. I watch the walking, falling in a row. We live always underground. It's gonna be so quiet and there's a light. 1,000 islands in the sea. It's a shame.
From my knees to my eyes, every time I watch Follow the power lines back from the road. No one around, so I take off my clothes. Am I the only one in the only world?
Pedro show start off the second hour with a little collab between Sparks and Franz Ferdinand, Johnny Delusional, then Thurston Moore with Leave Me Alone, Bilge Pump out of Leeds, that's kind of Midlands part of England, The Passion of the Kid, and finally St. Vincent, Rattlesnake. So, okay, you probably didn't have like recording school and that kind of stuff in high school, but what about after high school?
Well, it's kind of a funny thing. I was already recording all my friends and whatnot whenever I was in high school.
Right.
And I graduated high school, but I didn't have a plan. My only plan was to keep playing music and recording my friends. And my dad kind of laid in on me. My dad was like definitely wanted me to substantiate his actions. It was like, hey, I went into the straight world. You're going to have to go into the straight world, too. So he kind of leaned on me and was like, you should go to college.
My pop, he had no music experience, but he did say to me something similar, like, you're going to have to pull some regular duty, boy.
Right. Right. So I remember the day I graduated from high school, my dad took me to dinner, and he's like, well, what are you going to do? And I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to keep playing music and recording. And he's like, no, you gotta go to school. So he leaned into me and it got to me. So I I went to school, and he's like, you can go for anything you want. So I was like, well, I'm gonna go study music because my goal is to be able to communicate musically with anybody. Like I want to be, I can talk to a punker or I can talk to some classical person, right? So I go to school for music, and first week I'm there.
John,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, right by Dallas is a music school in Denton.
Yeah, UNT. That was the school I went to.
Okay, yeah, I got to play a gig there. I remember asking for paper for set list.
Uh-huh.
And it was, you know, paper with scores for writing the note.
Yeah. Where'd you play?
One of their little halls, you know,
uh-huh.
Some kind of, you know, with curtains, big curtains. Right, yeah, on campus.
Yeah.
And they told me it's a music school. And okay, so that's where you went. Great. I've heard lots of good things about that school.
It's a good school, man. A lot of good people. I dropped out, the reason of the story was first week I'm there, I stumble into the recording studio they have there and meet up with one of the teachers, and he could tell I knew my way around it, and through that I just got a job there. So then I just started recording people at the school. So my dad tried to get me away from it, and I just got deeper into it.
It's sort of like manure. Like, you want a good crop, so you use a lot of manure.
Yeah, exactly.
His pop is hilarious. Well, you know, he had a personal experience, but, you know, everybody, I mean, even in the back of his mind, he knows you have to be your own man, you know.
Yeah.
I want to play something here, Paralyzer from Sons.
Someday I can say this song is not called Heroin. It's dedicated to Miriam. Miriam Methadine.
Thank you.
people, they will try to rip you off. Oh, but me, I just toss that off. And other people, they got good hearts, and it's a crying sin for them to be apart. I get so easily excited. It's like having a party when you aren't invited. Where the river catches on fire. Just stand up. Look out at the city lights. Man, at night you can hear the whining like a great burning snake to me. The coldness and the mystery right at the edge of the beach. Annie down to Christie's Lounge, 'cause double solitaire is the only game in town. You know she planted a bomb in my pocket, turned on the ignition and the damn thing went off. Standing on the ledge of the bridge, staring down into the water's edge. I thought about you as the water rolled away, but I don't know why I feel this way. Don't know why I feel this way. I don't know why I feel this way. Thank you. smiled at me and threw away my crutch. It was almost like dreaming in church.
screaming from the back of the room.
Show, yeah, the Suns out of Montreal, Paralyzer, Peter Lochner, not too far away, Cleveland, Amphetamine, late great Peter Lochner.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Birthday to Me by John M. from Megadeth out of Trieste. Jim Joyce taught English at Berlitz Language School there. Paul Jacobs, Holy Holy Blank Tapes, Ride On, and We All Die Young, the Decembers. Remember I was talking about Petra Hayden?
Yeah, of course.
She served a shift with the Decembers.
That's right.
Right. And lately she's been doing a lot of Bill Frisell.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, incredible guitar man. And, okay. Your pop star. Yeah, he's trying to get you out of this thing. You leave school, you leave that music school in Denton. And then what do you do?
Oh, you know what I do? This is actually, you would know this guy. At that point, I went to Chicago because I was just obsessed with all the Chicago music. Yeah. And got, started working, made friends with Steve Albini, who yeah. You know, I'm sure.
Electrical Audio, Stooges recorded.
That's right, The Weirdness. Weirdness.
Yeah, and I was on bass.
Yeah, what year was that?
I think it's 2006.
Okay, yeah, this was like, 10 years before that. So I made friends with Steve and got associated with his situation over there, and he really kind of substantiated me and got me off to the races. He put a lot of faith in me.
Did you work at Electrical Audio?
Yeah, and I still do from time to time. I love that place.
You know Bob Weston?
Very well.
He was a Volcano son.
That's right.
Good guy.
He was also he still play with Mission of Burma?
Yeah, sometime? Right. He took over the fourth guy, yeah. Nice. I think they finally stopped doing Mission to Burma shows.
They might have, yeah.
Yeah, Peter yeah. told me he went on about 10 years too long. I had both Peter and Roger on the show, separately.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Peter's cool. In Rhode Island now.
But have you had guys, Bob or Steve on the show?
I haven't.
You should.
Man, I would love both those guys. And also, oh, yeah. They've got a great band together, Shellac.
That's right. Tremendous band.
With Todd. So tell me about this. You're working for him in Chicago?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, like it was very informal, but it really, he just, you know, you had just, there's a handful of people in your life that kind of like make you feel like you can really do something.
Sure.
He made me feel like I could do it. And I was there and I was like, oh, I could actually do this for a living. This is, you know, this isn't a crazy idea. And,
it's funny because the reputation, oh, he's a grumpy man, but he's actually pretty positive and inspiring cat.
I 100% agree. I think he's just very direct with people, and some people can't appreciate that. I'm somebody who can't appreciate that.
Less layers of bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe it's a little bit of the Texan in me, but I always just prefer people to be straight with me.
Okay. What's it say on the Missouri license plate? Show me.
Yeah, show me state.
Yeah, show me. Show me. Don't try to talk your way out of it. Show me. Okay, so about how long were you with Steve? I know you went back there.
I was in Chicago for about half a year, and then what Steve did is he wrote a letter for me and got me a job at the biggest studio in basically the Southwest in Texas. This place called The Lab is like a 5-room studio facility, and so I go back to Texas where I have sort of a support system, and it isn't so fucking cold. And and then the winter blew my fucking mind there, man.
Yeah, but John, the summers ain't too kind either.
No, they're not.
Sweaty motherfuckers, but Texas got that too.
Yeah, but I don't know, something about Texas I can handle.
Yeah, yeah. The winter in Chi-Town off the lake, that wind.
Yeah. So yeah, I go back to Texas and became like an engineer, a staff engineer at this place called The Labs, like a 5-room facility, and just kind of, you know, I was off to the races.
Wow. So thank you, Steve Albini.
Yeah, still, I try to remind him all the time how much I appreciate it.
That letter, right? And also getting to serve with him.
Yeah, man. He's the best.
Yeah, yeah. Was he wearing the overalls then?
Oh, you bet.
Did you wear them?
I did, yeah, I did.
You know, Ig really liked that. Ig thought it was symbolic of, like, you know what? We're here not to fuck around.
That's right. It's work. This is work time.
Yeah, he really, really appreciated that. You know, I remember him telling me, bitching he thought that was.
Yeah, I love it.
People it's were like, talking you know, about a boiler. Yeah, it's like, a boiler suit is like kind of a one-piecer.
Right.
You would see a guy in a garage wearing one that fixing cars.
Exactly. It's sort of like I've heard about how like Nick Cave or Paul McCartney, they put on a suit and they go to work whenever they go to write songs or whatever. And there's something about that I really like. It's like, this is work time.
Focus.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour, May 16, 2020. Hold tight for hour 3. May 16, 2020, it's the third hour. What for Pedro show?
You wanna see? I After the curtain falls, does bunnies have their day? After the curtain falls, the world just fades to gray. Our laughter, like ether, made us feel so high. Silence hits the ear, just like a big black eye.
Time to go, beat the cat, and then set the alarm. Then truth and mirrors
surely have their charm. But home is the sweetest place of them all. After the curtain falls, yes, home is the sweetest place of them all. After the curtain falls, after the curtain falls, after the curtain
the sunshine in the rainfall. In a stone road, in the wind call, and it's been this way all my life. I said it's been this way all my life, but now I know.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show. Start off third hour, 17, from Sharon Von Etten. You know what? I think she knows that Kurt Vile guy, Thurston.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Introduced me to. Yeah. Yeah. It's just sometimes my memory is so bad, John. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Crane and Veronica with After the Curtain Falls, Living More, Wondering, Atlantis Aquarius, Morning Star, and finally Angel Olsen, All Mirrors. So what happened? How long did you serve at the lab?
I was there for about 2 years, and then I went freelance at that point, and then things got dicey for a while.
Okay. I mean, it's good to tell people that, you know, because they think it's all like, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, actually, weirdly enough, I mean, things kind of didn't really start to happen for me until I started to, like, get asked to produce records. You know, like, I was recording people all the time. But, nothing was really happening for me until people started to ask me to produce. And,
okay, John,
and,
that's a good thing.
Yeah, go
ahead. Why don't you hit people to that? The difference between engineering and producing.
Sure. Sure. Well, I mean, like, engineering would be, like, you know, strictly more of a technical job.
The knobs.
Yeah, you're kind of in control of basically all of the electrical and technical things that go on to, like, making a recording happening. Whereas a producer is more involved in the music and the aesthetics and the overall presentation.
The big picture.
Yeah.
Right. Right, and sometimes the engineer is just too close to the knobs. Maybe he can't get the big picture because he's got to be, you know, focused.
That's right.
So, yeah, because, you know the old joke, right? How many producers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't know. What's the answer?
You almost had it. I don't know. What do you think?
Exactly.
Right, paying this guy all his money to say, what do you think? No, he's got to think, right? He's got to have a vision in his mind, or her. I mean, that's the whole idea of it. Otherwise, why not just go with the engineer, right?
And totally.
That's what they call
and
that.
Some people should.
They call it self-produce?
Yeah.
I've told people that. If you're going to have a producer, let him produce.
Yeah, man.
Either that or self-produce, you know? It's like too many hands on the rudder.
Yeah, that's usually the bigger problem nowadays is too many people trying to do that.
Right. And it's, you know, it's not as big as Hollywood or movies or TV, but it is a collaborative process.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about it.
Yeah. So it's like a little symphony just to get the symphony recorded.
That's right.
Yeah. No, but I don't think people appreciate it. I think they just think you hit the record button, and then everybody knows how the tunes are going to end up and all the sound. And it's not. It's kind of a, you got to wrestle it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Here, I want to play I'm Going to Heaven by the Paper Chase.
This is my old band.
Right.
Unimaginably violent. Atrocity. Their beaks are posturing at an old vampire, a forest fire. Any day, the windy city's gonna blow it out for you. I'll keep a horseshoe on my step. I'll keep a cross around my neck, draping garlic over our beds. Good luck amulets and aids will dab your forehead, keep you safe from the forest fire rage. Our fine crystal will ching, will drink to anything if it keeps the tires moving, keeps commuting smooth through. And I'm trying.
Thank you.
Walk from Pedro Show, last music for this edition. John's the first band, the Paper Chase, doing I'm Going to Heaven. And Zola Jesus, she was on the last edition with Half-Life. Henry Kaiser's a new piece. Great guitar man. Lives up Santa Cruz, but spends a lot of time South America skin diving. And he's got a piece called Problems Are Only Opportunities in Work Clothes. Okay, that's the name of the album. The album's got one song, 50 minutes long. When your work speaks for itself, don't interrupt. And, of course, I'm splitting it up into five parts, and that was part one there. And Henry's tits. He made music for a Werner Herzog movie about South what's that called? Antarctica.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Journeys to the End of the World or something? End of the Earth, something like that?
And then that's Henry there. A.B. Normal, Brother Phil up in the Big Bear with Achilles' Last Groove. And finally, I've heard of this band, Explosions in the Sky, the kind of instrumental.
Yeah, man.
Reminds me of a little bit of the Godspeed You Black Emperor guys out of Montreal. And
for sure.
Tangle Formations.
Yeah, man.
So where can people find you on the internet, John?
I mean, I guess the easiest way to find me would be...
Is there a John Covington website?
There is not. I mean, you can find me on
one?
Twitter.
Are you going to make one?
No.
I think you should. To me, it's like fanzine ethics, man. Nobody, no filter, no middleman.
Right. Well, you can always find me on Twitter at Congleton John.
Okay.
You can do that. You can always reach out to me through my management. Well, I'll talk to anybody.
Okay, but one day you're going to want your own website, or even a free one from WordPress or some shit. Okay. Next plans.
Me?
You're the one I'm talking to.
What are my next plans?
You're
my next plans are...
I'm just the host with the most posts.
That's right. My next plans are to get through this pandemic, man.
Of course.
Get back into the room and make music with other people instead of by myself. But I'm having all right time making music long distance with people, you know, doing what I can. Working on a record right now with Regina Spektor, long distance, and she's wonderful.
You know, I've been doing this project with Tom Herman, Perubu.
Yeah.
A really trippy way to compose it. He sends me, he makes a drum track. Why can't the drums come first?
Of course they can, man.
I know.
Look at hip hop.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They do that a lot, right. But
yeah.
Usually the bass is the last thing, right? And it's really neat to start with a real rhythm track. It's interesting for me. So, bad situations come out, you know, especially with the health and everything. But it lends itself to maybe situations are a little different. So maybe different approaches. Like, tell me how you're doing this remote recording.
Well, I'm doing a few different records that way right now. But a few different ways it's happening with a few different artists right now. Sometimes what they'll do is they'll just send me the chords and the melody of what they're thinking. And I'll just build a track around it, send it back to them. And they'll say, I like this. I don't like that. And so then I'll rework it and send it back to them. And then we just kind of collaborate that way. And then there's some things where people are like kind of producing it halfway, you know, like they're, you know, people can record a lot of things these days. So then they produce it sort of 50% and then they send it to me and I help them finish it up.
Oh, yeah.
It's been great. I really don't mind it. And I've been writing a lot with people, too. I've also been working on.
You're talking collaboration.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, interesting.
I've also been working on this great idea, this great project with this guy, Jamie Stewart, from the band Shushu.
Yeah.
Another L.A. guy.
Yeah.
Real genuine weirdo. and that's been super fun.
I think Devin Hoff played bass for him for a tour.
That's right. Yeah, Devin's a good guy, man.
Yeah,
Devin plays with
him, he made him insane.
Yeah, well, he's a very intense guy. Yeah. Devin's playing with Sharon Von Etten now, actually.
Is that right? Oh, man, he's great. I got a project coming out where it was just Joe Berardi on drums, Devin on one of these Ampeg baby basses, and I played bass guitar. Yeah, I called the Emma Goldman Bust Out Brigade. It's coming out this summer, a Nomad Eel. And, yeah, I met him through Nels Klein. He was Nels Klein's singer's bass player with Scott Allen on drums. Yeah. Small world, John.
Indeed. Well, yeah, yeah. It's just a few of us doing this shit.
But that's interesting that you're doing this. So it's not totally like, you know, sit on your hands. It's just
no. Way of working. I gotta make stuff. Otherwise, I go crazy. Right. I'm sure you're the same.
What about somebody younger just getting into this? Would you have any ask for advice? What would you tell them, John?
Well, if they're really going to be successful, they won't listen to anyone's advice. Yeah, they're just gonna do it the way they want to do it, and that's pretty cool. My advice is real simple: just don't quit. You know, just keep doing it.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah, man. Okay. I mean, and if you really want to do it, then you're gonna do it no matter what. So
No, I like that. Yeah. You know, advice things shouldn't be micro detail, right? They should be kind of general because you're right.
Macro.
The dude's got to fit his own life to it, right?
Yeah, just don't quit. That's it. You know, yeah. If you want to do it, you just don't quit, and then one day you'll realize you're dying, and you're like, oh, I did this all my whole life.
Yeah, and my pop wasn't right. That's a trip, you know. But you know, you put the rubber to the road. It's a big honor to have you on the show, John. Thank you so much.
Oh man, it's honor's all mine.
You know, well, right I'd back love at to, you.
I'd love to do something with you someday, man.
Well, we got to do the Bob for Pedro show, so that's a start.
That's a start.
Okay. People, it's been a May 16, 2020 edition Bob for Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.